The name of the sermon today is sanguineness. In recent weeks, I was contacted by a member wanting to discuss the subject of hope. She stated to me that she wanted to discuss hope in a very specific context. She acknowledged that she understood the biblical concept in the overall, and that the hope of every first fruit is the return of Christ, salvation, and eternal life in the kingdom of God. What she is seeking, however, is daily hope, or hope for the first fruit who is living day to day in a very negative and degenerating world. In the latter part of Acts 14:22, we read that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. With a reality like this, how do we go about having daily hope? The purpose of my sermon today will be to encourage all of us to manifest hope each and every day. Manifest hope. Before we get started, let us reference another scripture that speaks to the days we experience and how we are to react. 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 14. 1 Peter 4, beginning in verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, it says, rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. The Apostle Peter states that with each fiery trial and reproach, we are happy. A part of happiness is hope. You are about to see today many other spiritual elements are involved. Let us begin by defining a couple of terms. The first one, hope. It is defined as to wish or wait for something with expectation. That's the key, with expectation of its fulfillment. To have confidence and trust. Desire and search for a future good. Expectation of reaching a goal. The last definition here speaks to the fact that one's goals generate hope. Interestingly, God gives us both the goals and the hope. Both are manifested from the Spirit of God in us. Sanguineness has a definition. The name of the sermon today is sanguineness, which is the quality of being sanguine. It is defined as, one, a tendency to expect a favorable outcome. A tendency to expect a favorable outcome. To dwell on hopeful aspects. Cheerful and confident, optimistic. I encourage all of you to be sanguine. That is, I want you to face each day with cheerfulness and optimistic confidence. Maybe I can show you that graphically. I have here a glass, and as you can see, it is half full of water. Now, the pessimist says that it is half empty. The optimist says that the glass is half full. If you are sanguine, if you are invoking, you are expecting the glass to be filled by God. That is your expectation. So not only is the glass half full, but it is about to be and surely to be filled by Almighty God. So manifest hope. We just recently had a recap of our 113 hours of study in 1 Timothy. What did we learn about daily hope there? Let's look at a recap of some of the scriptures that we touched on. 1 Timothy 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. So the key point is Jesus Christ is our hope, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, or Christ among you. The margin has it. The meaning is that the whole of that truth, so full of glory and so rich and elevated in its effect, is summed up in this, that Christ is revealed among you as the source of your hope and glory for a better world, or in a better world. So if you are Christ-minded, you are thinking about this continually. You are thinking about Christ in your life. And that is where your hope is coming from. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. The key point is let the word of God rule your daily life. That is where your daily hope is going to come from. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. The key point being first fruits every day set their hope on the living God. For the phrase, we trust in the living God, better have set our hope on, from Vincent Word Study. So they see that phrase as better to have it stated, we set our hope on. So you have God Almighty, Jesus Christ, and the Word of God as sources of your daily hope. Now let us discuss some of the hope scriptures. And there are so many that I could not get them all into the sermon. So God has given us many, many scriptures on the subject of hope. Psalm 16. Psalm 16, beginning in verse 7, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instructed me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. The point here is have daily contact with God and his instruction, and you will have gladness, joy, and rest in hope. You will be constantly in hope. Now this speaks to our assiduity sermon and you doing your assiduity prayers, which is asking God to be there in every aspect of your life. So it says right there, because he is at my right hand. Well, if you are praying in assiduity, asking God to be everywhere in every aspect of your day, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, he's going to be at your right hand. You're going to see the invisible God. How can you not be full of hope at that? Especially as you see him interceding in every little thing that happens during your day. Psalm 31 and verse 24. Psalm 31 and verse 24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. So have your hope in God and you will have courage and strength. Notice the commentary for be of good courage. See a similar exhortation at the close of the psalm in Psalm 27, 14, as a result of all his own experience of the goodness of God and of his gracious interposition in a time of danger. See, this individual has done his assiduity prayers. The psalmist exhorts others to be encouraged and to feel assured that God would not leave or forsake them. So as you have your assiduity stories of God interceding in your life multiple times a day, you can share that with others. Share it with a family. Share it with your children. Share it with your brothers in the faith. The quoted verse was Psalm 27 and verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And as you're waiting, you're full of hope. You're expecting the glass to be full. And he shall strengthen your heart. He will animate you. He will enable you to meet trial and opposition. He will keep you from becoming faint and disheartened. And for the phrase, all ye that hope in the Lord, all ye that put your trust in him, and that's what you're doing in your assiduity prayers, you're putting your trust in him to lead you through the day. It says, and all those expectation is from him. It is a characteristic of true piety, your religion, that all hope centers in God, or that the soul feels that there is no other ground of hope. The truly pious man despairs of success in anything else or from any other quarter, for he feels that God alone can give success. Absolutely true. B, he does hope in God in reference to all that is needful for himself as an individual, all that he will be for the good of his family, all that will tend to bless the world, all that he desires in heaven, meaning from heaven and from God in heaven. Hope in God cheers him, sustains him, comforts him, makes life happy and prosperous, and makes death calm, serene, triumphant. See, death is nothing. Death is as far as your mind is concerned, is a 1 second waiting period, and then you're in the kingdom of God, regardless of how long you rest in the grave. Psalm 33 and verse 22. Psalm 33 and verse 22. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. So you cannot do an assiduity prayer without expecting God to be with you, and there is your hope that he's going to be with you throughout the day. The point is, there's a direct link between daily hope and the abundant elements we receive from God. This hope is absolute confidence that the abundance of God will come according to his infinite wisdom and perfect will. So somebody who is sanguine is not only seeing the glass half filled, he's expecting God to let, as Psalm 23 says, my cup runneth over. Psalm 39 and verse 7. Psalm 39 and verse 7. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. See, if you're expecting God to fill the glass, what are you waiting for? Your hope is in that he's going to fill the glass, that he's going to provide for you throughout the day. Says, what do I wait for? My hope is in thee. Let's look at a commentary before I state the point of this verse, as it may not be easily understood in its reading. For the phrase, and now, Lord, what I wait for, look for, or expect in this view of things, not long life, since the days of man are so short and his age as nothing, not help from man, since he is altogether vanity, not riches and honor, since they are such poor, fading, and perishing things, but the glories of another world and the enjoyment of the Lord himself, both in this and that. For the phrase, my hope is in thee, the psalmist now returns to himself and comes to his right mind and to the right way of judging and acting, making the Lord the object of his hope and trust, expecting all good things. Doesn't matter if they absolutely come or not, because everything that you receive is by the will of God, but he wants you to expect all good things, regardless of what happens. It says, expecting all good things, grace and glory alone from him, and this is the hope that makes not ashamed. That from the John Gill. The point is, you and I live in this world, and we go through each day surrounded by the elements of this world. We do not put our hopes in these things. All true help comes from God, and we put all our hope in him. Indeed, we expect all good things from him, and our daily confidence is that he will be there. This confidence makes you sanguine. dwelling on hopeful aspects and expecting a favorable outcome. All this adds to what we learned in the sermons, assiduity, putting all things into the hands of God, and verity, seeing the invisible God. If you are doing your assiduity prayers in the morning and then actually all through the day, then you are counting on and expecting God to intervene in each and every part of your life during each and every day. Surely, if you are seeing these multiple interventions and the continual providence from God, you are seeing the invisible God. Where else could your hope possibly be? The assiduity and verity are feelings, are feeding our hopes. They are establishing them. The elements of this world, including all trials, tribulations, concerns, and sorrow, diminish. Now, there is no way you could put your hope in them, and there is no way you could allow them to get you down. So there's no way for the world, the elements of the world, to put you down. And there's no way you could put your hope in them. Let us look at a few more hope scriptures. Psalm 119 and verse 81. What we just spoke about, worldly sorrows versus the trust in God. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in the word. The point here is our physical bodies, emotions, and minds fainteth or long for thy salvation, which is referring to both kinds of salvation. We long for eternal salvation in the kingdom, and we long for salvation from the struggle of this day and each day in which we struggle. Notice the commentary for, but I hope in thy word. The word of promise concerning deliverance and salvation, especially by the Messiah, which supported him and kept him from fainting, that being firm and sure, forever settled in heaven, and has the oath of God annexed to it for the confirmation of it, and God is faithful that has promised and is also able to perform. So that his word lays a solid foundation for faith and hope. That from the John Gill. The point of the commentary is this. When facing another day on this earth, we get through it by dwelling on the word of God, which is full of promises, oaths, providence, and confirmations from God. We know that God is faithful and will intercede in each aspect of our lives. Notice four more scriptures from Psalm 119, which speak to hope coming from the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 42, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Psalm 119, verse 49, remember the word unto thy servant which thou hast caused me to hope. Psalm 119, verse 77, let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. When you are seeing the invisible God, because you're seeing God, you know, interceding in your life on a regular basis in all aspects of your daily life, you bring those to mind. You'll remember those. And I could still tell you stories of days gone by in which, you know, God was directing my path because I specifically was doing assiduity prayers, asking God to intercede in each and every little thing, nothing being too trivial for him to be interceding about. And that is what you bring into remembrance, that and the things you've learned from the Word of God on having daily hope. Psalm 119 and verse 114, thou art my hiding place and my shield, I hope in thy word. Those are all verses that are describing somebody going through the world each day and having to put up with its struggles, but having their hope in God. Notice a bit of commentary on these verses. For the phrase in verse 42, for I trust in thy word, I believe it, I rely on it, I confide in that as my only comfort and protection. That from Barnes Notes. Verse 49, upon which thou hast caused me to hope, that is, all the hope which I have has been excited by thy word, thy promises. I have no other source of hope. I cherish no other hope. I pray now, since that hope has been thus excited in me, that I may realize all that I have been led to desire and to expect. Your expectation levels must rise here. The more you hope in God, the higher your expectations will go. You'll expect the best in every situation. That's called being optimistic and sanguine. The Word of God is the only foundation of hope for people. And when our hopes are fairly built on that, we have a right to appeal to God that He will make it good. From verse 114, for thou art my hiding place from temporal calamities. The perfections of God are chambers of retreat and safety to His people, where they might hide themselves and be safe till the calamities are over. For the phrase, and my shield, to protect from all dangers and preserve my from every enemy. So you are being protected from dangers and preserved from every enemy. For the phrase, I hope in thy word, there is a twofold and mutual recognition conveyed in this passage. God recognizes man in his helplessness and his dependency. And man recognizes God in the mercy and compassion and goodness of his character and relationship to his creatures. And thus, the basis of Christian hope is to be found in the divine testimony conveyed in the writings of Moses and the prophets of Christ and his apostles. That from the Biblical Illustrator. Maybe all the scriptures speaking to hope may be established by our full immersion into the Word. Maybe that can be summed up by a cartoon recently sent to me. I will describe the cartoon for those listening to the audio. In the first panel, we have a first fruit on his knees under the huge expanse of sky, and he's calling out to God, Lord, please talk to me. In the second panel, we see a strong arm of an angel reaching out through the clouds and handing the man a Bible. Our daily hope is in the Word of God. Fully immerse yourself into it. Let us now go to the Bible story for a quote. If you're not familiar with the Bible story, you drop me an email. I'll put you over to it. It was written by the parent church many years ago. It is a Bible story set in such a way that you could read it to your children. In volume 1 of the Bible story, chapter 30, Moses returns. It is said there, on repentance, God is pleased to forgive and remove sin by blotting out all past mistakes. But to gain everlasting life, one must live from then on by the Creator's rules. One of those being having daily hope, which are our what? Happiness, good health, and success. Often they are difficult to obey, but God gives ability to overcome and a growing hope of becoming a spirit being, Matthew 10:22. Now, under the heading of essential elements for daily hope, following are just I could have made 10 sermons out of this subject. Following are just a few of the essential elements needed for daily hope. As you continue to immerse yourself in the Word of God, you will add to these. To have daily hope, one needs a plan. Proverbs 21 and verse 5, the thoughts of the diligent lead only to plenitude, but of everyone that is hasty only to want. The New International version reads this as, the plans of the diligent lead to profit. The New Living Translation reads, good planning and hard work tend to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. You know why somebody tries to make a shortcut, you know, when shortcuts are wrong, you know why they do that? It's because they don't have any hope. So they're trying to come up with a shortcut. The shortcut is their replacement for hope. The New American Standard Bible reads, the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage. For the phrase, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plentiness, a man that is thoughtful and studious and wisely forms schemes in his mind and diligently pursues them, all of this with the help of God, putting every aspect of your life, including the making of your plan. See, this is where assiduity prayers come very, great encouragement to have them here as you're forming the schemes in your mind and diligently pursuing them, the issue of it is, generally speaking, prosperity and plenty. Such a man is usually thriving and flourishing. And this holds good in things spiritual as well as in things temporal. So God is looking to provide for you both in the here and the now, the daily aspect of your life, and the ultimate salvation of your life. Here are some quotes on having a plan. If you don't design your own life plan, chances are you'll fall into somebody else's plan. And guess what they have planned for you? Not much. And who is it that's going around like a roaring lion looking for who he can get to? Satan. So you have to have your own plan, one that is designed by God, or else you'll fall into somebody else's plan, possibly his. You were born to win. But to be a winner, you must plan to win, prepare to win, and expect to win. I wonder if the guy that came up with that quote had already heard a sermon like this one. Failing to plan is planning to fail. How many times have you heard that one? Margaret Thatcher said, plan your work for today and every day, then work your plan. And the best way to work your plan is to put your plan into the hands of God. Having a goal is a state of happiness. That is something that I have on my pages of my daily exercise charts, where I, you know, try to do several miles a day on a bike, and my goal is to get to the next proverbial city, because I travel as if I were following a map. Right now I'm on a journey from Miami, Florida, up to the middle of Virginia. The day before I get to my destination, I go by West Point. And that's my goal. My goal is to get to that town just down the road from West Point. So I have a goal. And that goal is a state of happiness. My hope is to get the next miles in today and the next day. And here are some, it says, and as you make your plans, keep in mind, Proverbs 16 and verse 9, a man's heart divideth his way, makes his plans, but the Lord directeth his steps. That is a verse that shows you that as you devise your plans for the day, when am I going to go to the food store? How am I going to drive to work today? You know, you're devising your plan. But the Lord directeth your steps. So you can make your plans. God will help you with that. And as you pray for God to intercede in every aspect of your life, he will direct your steps. So your plan is going to work, assuming it's a good plan and assuming it's God's will, it'll work because he will direct your steps through it. To have daily hope, one needs purpose. To have daily hope, one needs purpose. Ephesians 1 and verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him. So God has a purpose, and he has a purpose for you, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And one day we will fully understand that aspect of that verse, that he does everything after the counsel of his own good, perfect will. And he wants us to be doing the same thing. Ephesians 6 and verse 22, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. So clearly, a very purposeful person is Paul. You can see that in his letters. Colossians 4 and verse 8, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might show you your estate and comfort your hearts. How do you think he is comforting their hearts? Clearly he's talking about many things, but among them would be having daily hope. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Jesus Christ before the world began. So whatever those purposes are, is the kind of purpose that we have. You are designing your day. You are getting through the struggles of this day based on the purpose that he has in you. That's why he has you going to his word, because everything that comes under the heading of his purpose for you is in there, including all of the plans you make, all of the days that you go through, all of the struggles you encounter. Ephesians 1, and I'm going to read verses 7 through 21. This is Paul speaking to the Ephesians on his being called to go to the Gentiles. We're talking about purpose here. Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 7, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me whom am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence, sanguineness of the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That's a daily promise. That Christ, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. What is this asking and thinking? This is you making plans. This is you going through the day. And what does it say? Is he going to give you a cup half full? No, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So this all happens by the power of God in you. Things, elements, spiritual principles are being invoked. Verse 21, unto him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ through all the ages, world without end. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life. This is Paul speaking to Timothy, that we're going to be studying this verse in depth soon. It says, but thou hast fully known, Timothy, my doctrine, my manner of life, and what? Purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. See, if you are an individual in the church of God, a first fruit, who is relying on God for everything, doing your assiduity prayers, praying throughout the day, asking God to intercede continually in your life, that is something that is going to be known to your spouse. That is something that is going to be known by your children. That is something that is going to be known by your brothers in the faith, if not people you see in the world. That is your purpose. That guy has a plan. He's working his plan. You know, and I can tell by the way he conducts himself that he's not looking to himself for the fruition of his plans. The commentary here for purpose were open and manifest, in which were not to obtain glory and applause from men. Say, this is the purpose, the meaning of purpose, when Paul says to Timothy, you understood my purpose. And so what it says here, his purpose was open and manifest, could be seen by Timothy. He says, you know my purpose, and which were not to obtain glory and applause from men. And boy, were they, seeing that in the work they were doing, nor to gather wealth and riches for himself, but that God might, again, nothing wrong with wealth or riches, but the person that is denying everything to go after the riches. but that God might be glorified in the salvation of men, that Christ might be magnified in both in his life and death, that his gospel might be spread, his kingdom be enlarged, and that many souls might be converted and brought to the knowledge of him, and hence he became all things to all, that he might gain some. Now Paul can't gain anybody to the work, but he can be an agent of that. So when you are exuding sanguineness, when you are exuding confidence, when you are a person that is known to not only see the glass half full, but expecting it to be overflowing, you know, that's going to rub off on people. God can use that. Because, see, every time you invoke and somebody sees it, that goes into their brain. Your work is done. God can then use that to bring some, to save some. He'll use that as his agent of calling. And he'll bring that to remembrance as he works with them in a unique work with that individual. Quotes on having purpose. This from John F. Kennedy. Efforts and courage are not enough without purpose and direction. Helen Keller said, true happiness is not attained through self-gratification, but through fidelity to a worthy purpose. And what's the worthy purpose? The purpose of God. And what is part of his purpose for you? To have daily hope. The purpose of life is a life of purpose. Your purpose in life is to find your purpose and give your whole heart and soul onto it. Well, you're learning about that today or being reminded of it. Great minds have purpose. Others have wishes. Little minds are tamed and subdued by misfortunes, but great minds rise above them. To have daily hope, one needs attitude. After our services today, I'm going to play you a song that is full of attitude. So stick around, because I'm going to stay in the room and we're going to play a song that speaks to some of these verses here. And here, to have daily hope, one needs attitude. What does it say in Proverbs 17:22? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Ephesians 4 and verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Romans 12 and verse 2, and be not conformed unto this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. A part of the renewing of your mind is that to have a daily hope. When you get up in the morning, you're doing your prayers, you're doing your assiduity prayers, you can have your prayers of hope for this day. It says, transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's a daily thing and a full salvation process thing, this renewing of your mind. So it's a process. But see, there's sub-processes and then there's the overall process. So you are being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're building the character of Christ. That's the big picture. But a part of this renewing of your mind is taking in the Word of God in a new aspect. Every time you hear a sermon, that's another aspect of that you can use to renew your mind. Ah, we're having a prayer in faith. We're having a prayer in hope. We're having a prayer in overcoming sin. These are things that I can renew my mind with, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that clearly shows you that this daily hope is coming from God, is coming from Jesus Christ, and your knowledge of those two, you immerse yourself in the Word of God. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. You're not anxious because the cup only is half full. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So you're not only have this hope of an overflowing cup, your expectation, your optimistic knowledge that this cup is going to overflow according to the will of God, you are making that known unto him. And you're thanking him as it happens. Here's some quotes on attitude. Weakness of attitude becomes weakness of character. Your attitude, not your aptitude, will determine your altitude. Winston Churchill said, attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. It sure has a big difference in your daily hope. The greatest day in your life and mine is when we take total responsibility for our attitudes. That's the day we truly grow up. To have daily hope, one needs knowledge. Knowledge, and we know how that works. God gives you knowledge, which leads to understanding, which leads to action on your part called wisdom. Proverbs 18. We're going to give you four scriptures here in Proverbs. Proverbs 18 and verse 15. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. And this is what you're doing. You're immersing yourself in the Word of God. This gives you the knowledge that forms your daily hope. Because, you know, when it says, you pray, but you pray amiss. When that is said in the Bible, that is speaking to the fact that this person isn't immersed enough in the Word of God to form his prayers. It's the same thing with forming our hopes for the day. The more that we are immersed in the Word of God, the more knowledge we get, the more understanding we get, and the wisdom that is demonstrated, manifested, the action word there, is forming your daily hope. To get you through that, you become wiser and wiser. So that's why to have daily hope, one needs knowledge. Proverbs 2 and verse 10. Proverbs 2 and verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thy heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Proverbs 12 and verse 1, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. And a brutish person is a person who gets caught up in the ways of the world. He's all the time feeling guilty. He's feeling down on himself. I'm not worthy. Why did God call me? And all of these bad attitudes, bad feelings that we get, you have to push that aside. God doesn't want you to have that. And so make that your first daily hope. that'll all these negative feelings will be taken away from me. So I can get on. It says, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. And what is the knowledge here? That God wants you to be sanguine. Proverbs 24 and verse 5, a wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. How many scriptures have we already gone over that spoke to power and strength? Well, but that power and strength is increased. And it is focused better, you know, like taking aim. The better you can take aim, the better you're going to hit your target. Well, when you get knowledge, your aim, your focus becomes better and better on not only coming up with a plan, coming up with a daily hope, but succeeding. Quotes on the importance of knowledge. Information is not knowledge. Human behavior flows from three main sources: desire, emotion, and knowledge. When you know better, you do better. Back to that one that says information is not knowledge. A lot of people in the world, they live on information. You live on knowledge. You're getting knowledge directly from God. So just having information is not enough. I want to be able to have knowledge. So yeah, you have the information. You'll get information from God, but you'll get information on how to drive a car. You'll get all kinds of information, but then it's taking that and focusing it the right way, meditating on it, thinking about it, and then that information becomes knowledge. So as you learn things from the Word of God and you ask Him to focus that, that becomes knowledge. And then once you have that knowledge, then that seed goes immediately into understanding. Oh, I get it. I see how this works. That's what's happening today. I'm giving you a sermon. I'm giving you instruction from the Word of God on how to have daily hope. You know, that's knowledge. That's not just information. That's knowledge because it's coming directly from God, not from me. I'm the guy that's uttering what the Word of God says right now. You're going to get most of the utterance directly from God when you use this sermon as a basis for your lengthy studies on the subject. When you know better, you do better. Knowledge comes, but wisdom lingers. Under the heading of confidence, I wanted to give you a confidence scripture, Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. And beginning in verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience. See, that daily hope is what generates the patience, because see, your expectation, isn't it better? Sometimes when we think of patience, we think of drudgery, something of drudgery. Oh, I have to have patience here. No, the patience that you are looking for is one that is full of positive thoughts, positive outcomes, great expectations, hope in God. So it says, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. That's both long-term and daily. Verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Both speaking to the ultimate return of Christ and to his interceding in your life at all times. Verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now here are some mental elements for your daily hope. These are things you could almost put on 3x5 cards. A lot of this sermon could be put onto 3x5 cards and carry around if that'll help you in building this and getting used to this idea of daily hope. But here are some mental elements for your daily hope. These are things to keep in mind as you begin your day. Stay with these thoughts until bedtime. Number one, Christ is our hope, 1 Timothy 1. Never get that out of your mind. Keep these things in your mind. Two, what you can do for others. See, if you're thinking about the other guy, see, this will bring you hope. So what can you do for the others? This is the element for your daily hope. What can I do for others? As you have that expectation, and this is an expectation to have. What can I do for others? There's all kinds of things that you can do. You're always looking for opportunities. We've had many conversations about you looking for opportunities. So, and that's what number two is all about here, what you can do for others. I could easily just put in there, I'm looking for opportunities to serve. Three, you are God chosen. That makes you in a place more than important than the other 7 billion people on the planet. You are God chosen. That's a higher calling than the President of the United States, King of the world, a king of any country. There is no position on this earth that has a higher calling than being God chosen. There's hope in that. You've got to keep in mind that every aspect of your life, from long before you were born, but especially from the day of your calling, from the day of your baptism, you are God chosen. That's going to get you through some struggles. Number four, you are an instrument of glad tidings. This goes real good with number two, what you can do for others. You are an instrument of glad tidings. I told you about the woman who, she didn't have a whole lot of other things to give, but she could smile. I've always been impressed when she said that. We were in an open meeting. There was about 200 people there when she stood up and said, well, one of the little things that I can do that can result in much is that she smiled. So you are an instrument of glad tidings. You know, a kind word? Look up on the internet, kind words that you can say to somebody. Five, lost in wonder, love, and promise for what you can do for others. Six, your calling is a privilege to bring to others God's promises of salvation. So, wait a minute, how do I bring to others God's promises of salvation? By invoking, by being that person who has a reputation of not only seeing the glass half full, but expecting it to be made full. And understand as you develop your daily hope that number seven, Christ is present. If you're doing your assiduity prayers, if you are seeing the invisible God, then you know that Christ is present. And how can you not have daily hope when you're thinking about the fact that Christ is present? Colossians 1:11. Colossians 1 and verse 11. Closing scripture here. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, patience and long suffering with joyfulness, sanguineness, daily hope. So tomorrow is a new day for you. Manifest hope.